Arvada Fire, it's all about culture change and figuring out how we can best serve our community.
You are listening to CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project. Hi, my name is Ed Camo with the Vision 2020 Project. In this episode of CRR Radio, we're going to be talking about CRR in Arvada, Colorado, and data in Kansas. So let's get into it. Well, I'd like to welcome Deanna Harrington, who's a Deputy Fire Marshal with the Arvada Fire Protection District, to talk with us about CRR. Thanks for joining us, Deanna.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
I guess probably a pretty basic question is, what does CRR mean to you guys out there in Arvada? How are you using it, and what kind of outcome have you seen as a result of it?
Well, CRR at Arvada Fire, it's all about culture change and figuring out how we can best serve our community. So CRR has been an effort over time, adopting a new mindset and recognizing the many ways that we can serve the community and not only respond in emergencies, which in and of itself is reducing risk, but then how do we get ahead of those emergencies and prevent them from happening? So, and it's something where we really have adopted a new mindset and tried to figure out how to integrate all different types of programs that are very focused in order to meet the needs and the risks of our community so that we can reduce those risks.
Now, one of the things you mentioned was culture change. How was that overcoming that, and what did you do to try to, you know, change the culture within your fire department to adopt and embrace CRR?
Well, we're really fortunate here in Arvada that the leadership really sets the example for integrating CRR into everyday activities. So they really have set the pace and the expectation, which makes it far easier for that culture change to happen. So really, it's been a leadership adoption. There's been an expectation that all of our officers take the Vision 2020 online CRR training and have that minimum basic understanding. And then we integrate regular training for our officers and our line personnel. But it goes further than that. Everyone in our department really understands community risk reduction. And it just really has just, it's become a way that we serve the public.
What are some of the practical ways that your firefighters are applying CRR every day? I know when I was out there, you were showing me a few. Could you share those?
Absolutely. So we really have taken the step towards station-based CRR. So we've done that, allowing our station captains to complete a risk assessment for the community around the station, and then prioritize what they feel like are the top risks in their area. And with doing that, we've gotten some buy-in, they've taken some ownership in developing programs to meet the needs of the people that they are interacting with every day. And so some of those things look like tailoring safety messages to a Russian-speaking community, or an area of town where the homes are beginning to become 10 to 15 years since they were built and thus in need of new smoke alarms. They've set up special programs and are out doing blitzes in that area. Other programs are, we've got one station really focusing on all types of motor vehicle safety because that's one of the most common calls they're running, and they're highly significant, really impacting a lot of people with significant injuries, and so on and so forth. So each station has something that they're working on. But then we also just have it in the mindset of our people that when they are on a call and once the emergency situation has been mitigated, they will check to make sure that there's working smoke alarms in the home. Or maybe on a motor vehicle crash, they'll be able to educate about child passenger safety. So there's always an opportunity to work on some risk reduction messaging, and our people are just doing it every day.
Now, you'd mentioned the captains are taking the online training. Is there something you're doing on a more regular basis just internally within the department to reinforce the message or to talk about what's working, what's not working, that sort of thing?
Sure. So we do monthly newsletters that come out of the CRR division that goes to all of our personnel, that it highlights some kind of a risk reduction message for that particular month. So that's helping them to think of something else they could be sharing with the public. It's in a public place where anybody that stops by to visit might see it. And in there, we can include information about what we've done. But in addition, every month in our board report, we do a summary of those risk reduction activities. If we know that we've made a negative, we have that negative, we've made an impact, what is considered a success, a save, due to our outreach, we would highlight that there. And it's definitely something we're working towards, even more of a data-focused status update, having a dashboard in our division where we're monitoring all of that activity and celebrating all of those successes. Definitely important to keep track of all of those efforts.
What do you see going forward?
Oh my goodness, there's so much more we can always be doing. You know, we are focusing currently on more and more implementation of the station-based programs. We really feel like that's where it's at for us, reaching the specific needs of each of the communities, getting out there and providing risk reduction in the homes. We know that's where we're responding to our calls, whether they're fire-related or otherwise. We really are trying to get out into the home. So we're really working on more programs to serve our older adults and try to reduce risk of falls. I just see that there's always more and more we can do with more partners, working with more groups that are in our community in order to improve our reach, you know, more and more data collection in order to continue to focus those efforts and reevaluate what we've been doing to see what's working and what we can do better. So, never a lack of work.
All right. Well, we've been talking today with Deputy Fire Marshal Deanna Harrington with the Arvada Fire Protection District. She's telling us what they're doing with CRR out there in Colorado. And really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, Deanna.
Thanks, Ed.
That was some great information about what they're doing in Arvada, Colorado. And now let's take a look at data. Joining us today is Sarah Wood, who is the State NFERS Program Manager for the Office of the Kansas State Fire Marshal. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Data. You know, everybody I'm talking to just says how important data is. And these are, I'm talking to fire chiefs, firefighters, people out in the field. From your perspective as a program manager, how important is data when it comes to things like CRR and planning your community risk reduction programs?
I think that it's absolutely vital because your data can tell you what community risk reduction efforts that you need to address, because community risk reduction is such a large variety of topics that maybe don't pertain to where you're at, or maybe they really do. So data is really your starting point into making your map to CRR.
What kind of data does NFERS capture right now that might really be relevant to a CRR program manager out there?
Probably the easiest place to start is your smoke alarm data, where you see what fires you've had and then kind of see how many people did have smoke alarms. Were they working smoke alarms or were they not? Another facet to the data that can help, and it's less about fires, but EMS calls. If you see a couple of addresses where you're running a lot of EMS calls, it could be possibly a person that has some kind of special circumstances. So it gives you a place to identify those pieces of your population that you can address in other forms, maybe a fall prevention, or maybe it's someone who can't physically test their smoke alarms.
Would NFERS data also help you in terms of identifying hotspots, whether it be particular parts of your community that are having fires or having a lot of false alarms, you're running out there all the time? Does NFERS provide you that kind of perspective as well?
Absolutely. The nice part about NFERS is how it captures addresses on everything. So if you're doing your reports and you've got your addresses, you can plug that into any number of free mapping tools out there, or even just looking at your addresses, and most people know their cities well enough to kind of figure out those hot spots.
And one of the things I've noticed through some of the things you've been publishing and putting out there is the whole area of data visualization, because a column of numbers or a table in a report is one thing, but actually being able to visualize data, that just seems to really help a lot in terms of grasping and identifying where the problems lie. Anything you can talk about with regards to data visualization?
I love data visualization. It's my favorite part. It's like the difference between, if you've ever seen the Matrix movie, where all those falling green numbers, it may not make any sense, but then when you're inside the Matrix, you see the picture. That's basically what data visualization is about. It's taking all of this data and putting it in a form that our eyes love to look at. Our eyes love to look at pictures, not so much columns of data. So even just a simple graph or a map. A map is data visualization itself. Those are just very powerful tools.
What are some of the tools that people can use for data visualization? How can they take this information, the ones and the zeros and all the data and everything, and turn it into that picture or that map?
There are several out there. The ones I use for any graphs or charts, I use Excel. I know it's really basic, but it's really powerful, offers a lot of customization, colors, fonts, text, anything you could really want a chart to do, Excel can do it. And there are many, many videos on YouTube or visualization experts that have Excel tutorials out there for free. There are other tools that are larger, more robust tools. There's one I personally use, it's called Tableau, and they offer a free tool called Tableau Public. That has actually allowed us to create dashboards that you can interact with on our website. So that one's a nice, powerful tool. For mapping, you know, Google Earth is free now. You can get Google Earth with a license key of, I think it's GEP free. And then there are some other free mapping tools like Google Maps. You can just import a list of addresses in there. So there's all these just very wonderful tools that are absolutely free, cost no money.
So how difficult is it to take the ENFERS data and import it into these various tools, like Google Map, for example? I use Google Maps a lot, but I use it in a very simplistic way, just importing a spreadsheet in there to put addresses and things down. Is it something that takes some level of expertise on it? And you mentioned YouTube, which I think is great. When I don't know how to do something, I always go to YouTube. But how difficult is it to do all this transition from ENFERS into these tools?
It depends on the record management system that a fire department is using, honestly. If you're using a tool that will give you a raw file that can be imported into Excel, that's going to be the easiest way. If you can't get your data out of your RMS very easily, then you can actually pull it down from the national level. To do that, you have to get permission from your state manager, and then you can go through the process of doing what's called a bulk export. It's not a complicated process. It does have a couple of steps in it, but once you get it down, it's a very easy process to do. So basically, it depends on what you can get until eventually you can get into Excel.
So is Excel kind of the go-between for all this sort of stuff?
Yes, it's the easiest go-between, because the way you enter your reports and you get the data back out, it's a file called a delimited file, which basically means one field gets a column. And Excel is very native at pulling the data in that format. It's just the easiest tool.
Do you see fire departments coming to you with more questions on how can I use data for my CRR efforts?
Yes, it's actually blown up in about the last year. It's great. I love those conversations. But I am seeing more and more people asking these same questions about community risk reduction and data. I love it.
What are some of the common questions you're getting?
Where do we start is a big one. Like, oh, I'm learning about community risk reduction, and I've been doing my reports, but where do we start? And I always tell them, you have to start where you are. Look at what you have, and then you'll figure out where you need to go.
What do you think is creating this groundswell? You say you're getting a lot of things in the past year and a half. Is there anything you can point to that's suddenly putting on the radar screen of people that CRR and data are linked together?
I would probably say I've seen more articles in the mainstream fire magazines. I have seen several in there about data. And so the more that are posted, the more people are looking at it, because then it becomes a legitimate topic in their minds. So just the more articles that are out there, the more conversations people are going to have. And that's really been the biggest shift, or maybe it's been my awareness because I've been on my own journey with CRR the last year. So I don't know if it's a little of this and a little of that.
Are you doing things at your level to help with the CRR efforts? And when it comes to data, is the State Fire Marshal's Office doing anything special?
We have a smoke alarm initiative that we just enacted, I think, in October, and we picked an area of the state to focus on, and we used our InfraS data to do that. So we have this large 16-agency initiative now working together at the state level to get more citizens participating in smoke alarm programs, like to take advantage of the tools that we have. So that has been very fun since October.
One of the things I hear in talking to people is InfraS doesn't necessarily capture all the information they need when they're doing things like, and you just mentioned smoke alarm install programs. Have you seen departments creating other tools to help augment or support those kind of programs?
I have. Some start spreadsheets where they, mark down where they install or where they talk to citizens. Or there are also free tools like Google Forms is great. You can set up a Google form. You can use it on your phone. When you talk to somebody or go out and do an install, you can fill out that form and then it'll feed into a spreadsheet in Google. So there are tools that I have seen people use workarounds. They're kind of one-off tool that works for maybe one fire department or a couple, depending on what they're doing.
And we'd actually created a number of those several years ago, doing that very thing, Google Forms, and doing it into a spreadsheet. And I'll include a link in the show notes below for people that might be interested. We have kind of a template on capturing all the information, the name, address, demographics, smoke alarms, all that sort of stuff in there that people might find helpful. And it was quite honestly, like you said, it was kind of a one-off. We were looking for a solution. There wasn't one out there. So we created a pretty simplistic one. It seems to work pretty well for what people are doing. And that was a number of years ago. So I'm sure it's only gotten better in this day and age as Google improves their product line.
Absolutely.
Anything else you're seeing out there when it comes to CRR and data that people are doing that you might want to share with others?
I have noticed more fire departments, and this is maybe less about citizens, but looking more at their fire service injuries, because InfraS does capture a lot of data about fire service injuries. And I have noticed that more fire departments are looking at what's causing their injuries. A lot of the fire service injuries, at least here, happen inside structures, and they're related to either falls or bumps or hazards, not even during a fire, but maybe an EMS call. So we have seen some look at fall prevention programs, removing the rugs or clearing a space or even hoarding programs. And those have the benefit of protecting the citizens in their homes, but also first responders, if they have to go to that home, are then protected by the same measures.
So could you also say that CRR and data is also tied to firefighter safety?
Absolutely. Yes. The safer your public is and the more steps they take to protect themselves, that feeds in the first responders as well. For one thing, the goal of CRR is to just not have that 911 call happen, is to prevent it in the first place. Every call that's prevented is protecting first responders and members in fire departments. So if you stop the call, that's great. And then if there is a call and your citizen has taken extra steps like smoke alarms and they've gotten out, that changes the game for firefighters when they go on a house fire.
Well, we've been talking with Sarah Wood, who's the state InfraS program manager for the Office of the State Fire Marshal in Kansas. And Sarah, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about CRR and data.
Thank you. I love talking about it.
To learn more about community risk reduction and the Vision 2020 project, be sure to visit us at www.strategicfire.org. And thanks for listening.